Hello. So I'm going to be talking about tarps as well, but I'm going to be focusing on how to facilitate reduced tillage in organic vegetable systems using tarps prior to planting. So tillage, of course, in agriculture in general, is used to incorporate crop residue into the soil to prepare a clean seed bed that's easy to plant into. And most importantly, in organic systems, it is used to control weeds. And intensive tillage can actually have a lot of long-term negative effects on the soil, such as breaking up aggregates. It can encourage erosion, cause a decrease in moisture and carbon content of the soil. So one practice that farmers have been implementing into their farms and that we are studying is the use of black plastic tarps on the surface prior to planting to kind of serve some of the same ways that tillage does, but without disturbing the soil and having those negative effects. So what is a tarp? This is a tarp. It's not very mysterious. It is a big piece of black plastic. It's impermeable to water. It's opaque, and it can cover multiple beds at one time. And you can put anything on it to hold it down, from sandbags to rocks, soil, bowling balls, whatever you want. Anything heavy that will keep it down. And for our project, we did not seal the edges, but you could do that. It may affect some of the environment. But these also can be rolled or folded and stored to be used over multiple years, which makes them very economical. They're about $100 to $120 for a 100-foot tarp, which is about 24 to 32 feet wide. And these tarps also implement a lot of flexibility in farming plans because, unlike tillage, they are not really limited by weather, by soil conditions, and can put flexibility into the planting in that way. So for this experiment, we did a complete random block design. We had two separate planting dates, and then within these planting dates, we had four tarp durations. So we had a long-term tarp, which was either 24 weeks, that was over winter, for the early planting, or for the later planting, we did a 10-week, which was as soon as we could get into the field in the spring. Then we also had 6 weeks, 3 weeks prior to planting, and no tarp. And all of these are, of course, taken off before planting. And each of these was combined with a tillage treatment, so either no-till, a reduced till, which was 1 to 3 inches, or a conventional till, 4 to 8 inches. And this varied by location. We had three locations. One was in Freeville, New York, one was in Riverhead, Long Island, and one was in Monmouth, Maine. And for all of these experiments, we took measurements on soil environment parameters, on weed pressure, and on crop yield. And for our crop, we used table beets, the Boro cultivar of table beets. So getting into some of the results, one thing that farmers have used tarps for is to encourage the degradation of residue. And a lot of farmers have found that this is working for them. It did not for us. So it actually, as you can see in this picture here, kind of preserved the residue almost. So we have several theories as to how that may have happened. So for one thing, looking at temperature, so the heat accumulation in the 8 inches of soil was actually significantly higher over the whole season under tarps. But if you looked at the surface temperature, it was not significant. And in fact, in the colder weather, it was slightly lower temperature under the tarps. But in hot weather, it was slightly higher under the tarps. So that slightly cooler temperature in the winter months may have contributed to the residue not degrading as much. Also, some of these farmers that have found that the residue degraded, they may have incorporated some of it beforehand. They may have put amendments or water on the surface before putting the tarps down, whereas we just flail mowed and put it directly over the cover crop. And in terms of soil moisture, there was not a difference across the treatments, but in general, we observed that moisture stayed pretty much the same under the tarps. So it did not allow moisture out, but it did not allow much moisture in either and kept it pretty constant over the season. One thing that did change dramatically with tarp duration was nitrogen concentration. So if you look at this graph here, on the left we have our Freeville location, and on the right we have our Monmouth, Maine location, and this is in parts per million. The dark green is nitrate, and the light green is ammonium. So there was no difference with ammonium, but if you look here from the 0 week up to the 10 or more week tarp duration, there was a direct significant increase in nitrate concentrations for these tarps. And the most likely reason for this is lack of leaching. So nitrate, of course, is very soluble in water, and so throughout the winter season when there are no plants to take that up and there's a lot of rain or snow melt, it leaches a lot of the nitrate out of the soil, whereas these tarps do not allow water in, and there's very limited water that runs underneath them, so it's significantly decreased the loss of nitrate through leaching. It's also possible that these tarps prevented pooling from things such as snow melt, which can cause anaerobic environments and denitrification. And then in the summer months, when it was a little warmer under the tarps than on the bare ground, it may have encouraged microbial activity and therefore nitrification. So looking into weeds, probably the most important aspect that tarps are used for in terms of reducing tillage. So one question that we have actually had a lot is, do these produce a stale seedbed? And Sonia talked a little bit about that. So we weren't entirely sure, because you can't really see under these tarps what's going on, especially in the late spring season while you're doing this. So we incorporated a new measurement this coming year about seed viability. So we measured the viability of pigweed and lamb's quarters, which were the two most abundant weeds that we had in Freeville. And then we measured their viability at the end of the season when we took the tarps off. So lamb's quarters did not have a significant difference, but pigweed, while it wasn't a very high difference, on the early planting it was actually a higher mortality on bare ground than under tarps. But in the later planting is the opposite, so there's actually a higher mortality under tarps than bare ground. And we attribute this, again, to that difference in temperature, so that when it's cooler, it was cooler under the tarps, and when it's warmer outside, it's warmer under the tarps. And so in this picture, you can see with our lovely scale model of our toad, we have these little white thread seedlings that have emerged. And so this was our 3-week early planting tarp. This was the only treatment that this happened, but the whole plot was covered in these seedlings, and they were dead within probably 2 hours from exposure. So this does prove that in some capacity, some species at least are emerging under the tarps and then therefore being killed from the lack of light. And here I have a picture of the different treatments on the day of tarp removal. So on the top we have the early planting, and on the bottom we have the late planting. And as you can see, there are no weeds present in any of the tarp treatments, even though the no tarp had a full, was completely covered in weeds, just like the surrounding area. So there were no weeds present under any tarp except in the 3-week, and again, those were killed within a couple of hours. But if you look at this right here, where this looks black, those are actually dead weeds. So this was the only treatment in which we actually put the tarps directly over fully matured weeds. And this was the 3-week treatment, and they were all killed within 3 weeks. And then 10 days after tarp removal, there was still a 96% lower weed biomass in the tarped plots than the unchecked weedy plots, though there was no significant difference between tarp durations. So this is looking at weed pressure at the end of the season. So this is when, right before we harvested the beets. And in this graph, I have weed biomass in grams per meter squared. In the black, we have Freeville. In the middle, dark gray, we have Monmouth, Maine. And in the right, we have Riverhead, Long Island. And so in Freeville, there was no difference across the season in weed biomass. In fact, there was a slight increase in weed biomass for some of the longer tarp durations. But in Maine, there was a very different effect. There was a drastic decrease in biomass of weeds for the use of any tarps. There was also a significant difference in Riverhead, Long Island. So we looked at some of the mechanisms as to what could have caused this. And here I have a table showing the most competitive species by abundance in our different locations. And I would especially like to point out the pigweed, first of all, in Freeville. So pigweed was by far the most abundant weed in Freeville and was not present at all in the other locations. And so some literature I have found has said that that pigweed is actually encouraged by nitrogen to the extent that use of any plastic in agriculture stimulates pigweed to emerge more so than it normally would have. So that could have skewed our data, showing that tarps are not effective at suppressing pigweed. Or there's another, the red clover in Monmouth we also looked at. So they had a very large population of very early stage red clover in Monmouth, Maine, and it was completely decimated by these tarps. And so that may have skewed the data a little bit, but then looking at Riverhead it also was significantly different. So this just suggests that different weed species respond differently to the tarps, and that it may very much depend upon an individual site as to what the late season effect of tarps can be. So lastly, I want to look at crop yield. And tarps did significantly increase crop yield in both Maine and Freeville for all treatments. In Long Island, it took the 10-week or more to produce that same significance. And then here I have a picture of how we sorted the beets. We measured them by size and put them into classes by that. So these very small ones on the far left were not counted towards our marketable weight. Everything above that was counted. So looking a little more in depth at the Freeville numbers here, for the planting one, there was a 43% to 82% increase in beet yield and the reduced tillage when we used tarps for any duration. And then in conventional till, there was a 7% to 26% increase in yield for tarps of any duration. We did not actually plant the no-till in Freeville because we could not get the planter into the weeds for that particular year. This year we are doing that, so we'll have that data. But for now, I'm just going to do these two treatments. And then in planting two, the reduced till had no marketable yield whatsoever when tarps were not used. When tarps were used, the yield was pretty comparable to the conventional till. And then in the conventional till, there was a 59% to 98% increase in the yield. So clearly the planting two, the warmer season, had a much higher tarp effect than the cooler season in terms of how effective the tarps were at increasing yield. There was also never a difference between the tarp durations. So 3 week, 6 week, 10 or more week, all of those were never significantly different from each other. Also, I want to note that there was never a difference between reduced till and conventional till when tarps were used. When tarps were not used, there was often a very significant difference between the reduced till and the conventional till. So in conclusion, the tarps did increase crop yield, and there was never a difference between the reduced and conventional, as I said. So this means that even if no-till is not entirely made viable by the use of tarps, it definitely makes reduced tillage more viable in comparison to conventional tillage. They suppressed all weeds at the time of planting and sometimes had a season-long effect in certain locations, but even without that, the absence of weeds at planting had clearly a very significant impact on giving these crops a head start. As you can see, even though in Freeville, for example, we had no difference in weeds at the end of the season, we still had a significant increase in yield at the end of the season. And then from the fact that there was never a difference between the durations, 3 weeks was sufficient time to kill weeds and increase yield. And so using tarps for 3 weeks rather than 24 weeks would give a farmer a lot more flexibility in their planting. So tarps reduce fuel cost and time and soil compaction that tillage gives to the soil, and they provide a lot of flexibility in keeping the soil wet or drier in wet conditions and more moist in dry conditions. So I would like to thank my advisor, Anu Rangarajan, and then Ryan and Brian, our project team in Freeville, and Mark, Nick, and Meg and Zachary are in our other locations, and of course our student interns that did all of our data. Any questions? The question was, were these direct seeded? And yes, these were all direct seeded.
Were there differences between soil and history, farming history, at the three sites?
Yes, so we had a question about the difference between farming history. There was a difference between farming history and soil. And so for that purpose, that's one reason that we did not ever combine the data. But yes, so that may have had an effect, certainly. Did we collect soil temperature data? Yes, we did. And so we found that when at the deeper temperature or at the deeper levels, 8 inches, there was a significant increase in heat accumulation across the season when tarps were used. At the surface, we did not find that difference. So the question was, did we alter our fertility plan based upon the nitrogen? No, we didn't. So we wanted to make sure that all of the treatments got equal nitrogen treatments that we did. So we did fertilize 50 pounds of nitrogen at the very beginning, just before planting, but we did not alter that according to the results that we had.
All right, thank you very much.